And welcome back in to GameDaySportsRadio.com. Boji Wood coming to you from the GameDaySportsRadio.com studios right south of Atlanta, Georgia, on a Sunday morning, getting ready for the NFL games. It'll take place this afternoon. Of course, the Falcons and the Bucks, they'll kick off at 1 p.m. right here in the great city of Atlanta. And due to his travel schedule tomorrow, we can't get Mike Bernard in, so we're going to have him in to do some college recaps. But before we do, want to remind everyone that the Morning Blitz that he's usually on, brought to you by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. Mike Bernard, thanks for taking time on this Sunday for being with us. Know you got a busy day tomorrow and can't make it, so we do appreciate you carving time out of your busy Sunday to be with us.
Oh, yeah. Glad to be here, Coach. An eventful day, to say the least, for the top 25 teams in college football.
Had six byes in the top 25. In other words, six teams did not play. Cincinnati, Mississippi State, North Carolina State, Kentucky, Oklahoma, and Clemson. They all did not play. But yet, with six teams not playing in the top 25, there was a lot of action going on. Four of the top eight teams lost. And, of course, you got to look at the big win that LSU had at home over Georgia. Georgia just looked completely out of it. And then West Virginia goes into Ames, Iowa. We've talked about Matt Campbell and what a great job that he's done in Ames. They just beat the socks off West Virginia. And then Washington misses a field goal with 3 seconds to go in the game, very makeable field goal, and loses to Oregon in overtime. Kind of poetic justice for Oregon after the Stanford debacle. And then Penn State looked lethargic coming out of off the bye week and the loss to Ohio State. But, Mike, if you look back at the history of Penn State the last couple of years, I didn't even realize this. They had lost to Michigan State after losing to Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a tough spot for them to be in. They're on that emotional high. They felt like they should have won the game against the Buckeyes. And, of course, Michigan State, they beat somebody every year that they're not supposed to. They also usually lose to teams that they're not supposed to. But Penn State fell victim to that. And we're talking about the top 25. You mentioned that four of the eight teams lost outright. But, Coach, only four teams in the top 25 covered the line. Possibly only two, or actually none, could have covered on Saturday. And if you take out the teams that were pitted against ranked teams, you have a ranked team versus a ranked team, only three teams had a chance on covering. That was Alabama, which was a win, push or a loss. They won by 29. Florida was a push or a win. And Texas A&M, they were favored by 2.5 or 3 and won exactly by 3.
Alabama, the big news is not anything about the winning or losing or pushing on the line. The big news is that Tua tweaked his knee in the third quarter. Now, do you think that's going to have an effect on the line this week in the Alabama game?
Oh, no doubt. It always will. Luckily for Alabama, they have a proven the best backup quarterback, arguably, in the history of college football as far as his credentials. But it's definitely going to have an impact on the point spread. In their game against Missouri, the score was 30-10 at halftime. And, Coach, you and I talked about it last week. That total was around 74 or 75, which was the highest ever for a Nick Saban team. It looked like it was going to go over the total at halftime, but in the second half, the two teams only combined for 9 total points.
Georgia takes great pride in stopping the run, but LSU ran for 275 on the Dogs.
They did, and it certainly didn't help that you're -4 in turnovers. The only team that comes to mind that I remember recall winning a game when they're -4 in turnovers was when the Buckeyes beat Oregon in the national title game. I believe they were -5.
Speaking of Ohio State, the Bucks were only able to run for 92 yards on the ground versus a very scrappy Minnesota team, still got out of there with an ugly win.
They did, and they're on the road for 3 of their next 4 games, and we all know what comes after that. It's that home meeting with Michigan.
Clemson, number four, they were had one of the teams that had a bye this week. Notre Dame, we talked about four of the last eight teams, four of the top eight teams losing this week. You know, it was almost five because Notre Dame had to come from behind late to beat Pitt 19-14.
That's right. Irish was favored by 21. They, of course, did not cover. Lucky to win the game, or fortunate to win the game. And their run game was completely shut down, Coach. 38 carries for only 80 yards. And once again, we saw the Irish defense keep them in the game.
We talked about the West Virginia-Iowa State game. Of course, you and I both like Matt Campbell. You really like Brock Purdy, that freshman quarterback at Iowa State. And that program's made great strides. And I think they beat a pretty good football team on Saturday night.
They really did. And when I said West Virginia is not likely to win all their games and it's going to hurt the Big 12's chances, it's just because of their schedule. In this game, West Virginia was anywhere from 4.5 to 6.5 point favorite, and they lost 30-14. But you're right. I really like that Brock Purdy kid. He can run. He can throw. And it's only his second start, and he's 2-0. As for the Big 12, I think they're most likely done for the playoffs. Every team has a loss, and that conference needs a lot of help.
Washington, they go into Oregon, and the Ducks, I did not think that – I didn't think Oregon would beat them. I'll just say that straight out.
I didn't either, Coach.
Yeah, I thought Washington would go in there and win that game really handily, but you got to take your hat off to the Ducks on this one.
Yeah, and I've really got to give credit to the head coach, Mario Cristobal. For all those years, you know it very well, I pointed out that the Chip Kelly Ducks, they weren't physical enough, and it was fact. History showed that their record versus physical teams was abysmal. They lost to all the Stanfords, to the LSUs, and so on. But I think after seeing this team this year, Cristobal, a former lineman, he's changed the mentality in Oregon.
We talked about the Penn State game off the air last week about the point spread, and you were saying it was going to be close, but you would be surprised if Michigan State got the win straight up, but they did.
Right. The point spread told us it would be close, but it didn't say they're going to win. Penn State chances to win the Big Ten East, basically gone, slim to none, but they can still have a major effect as a spoiler because they have remaining games against Michigan and Wisconsin.
Texas, they came in to play Baylor, hosted Baylor actually, after that huge win in the Red River rivalry against Oklahoma. Again, Oklahoma's one of those teams that were able to take the week off and kind of recoup from that emotional game. Texas only beat Baylor 23-17, but I think a lot of that had to do with there wasn't a whole lot left in their tank yesterday.
Right, and Texas was favored. They opened as a 16-point favorite. They closed around 14, but they never led by 14 at any point in the game. Good call by you, Coach. You said last week Baylor was going to keep it close for those very reasons in that letdown spot, and they certainly did.
Central Florida goes into the Liberty Bowl to take on Memphis. They squeak out of there with a 31-30 game, a game that in the second half was played in a monsoon.
Yeah, the Knights have won 19 straight, and Central Florida has beaten Memphis 12 straight times going back to 05. And remember, at halftime, this game, Memphis led 30-17 at the half, and the Knights shut them out in the second half.
Something about learning how to win and expecting you're going to win makes all the difference in the world. Number 12, Michigan, played number 15, Wisconsin. I thought the Wolverines overall, I think they were the most impressive team that I saw all weekend.
You know what I was most impressed with is how Michigan changed their offensive philosophy and how it worked out for them. Michigan ended up with 320 rushing yards against a solid defensive front. But in the first half, Coach, I don't know if you noticed, but they ran a lot of play action. They were throwing the ball. They were running wide plays, and it set up all those rushing yards in the second half. And at the end of the day, Michigan outgained the Badgers 444-283.
When you finally got a quarterback that can throw the ball a little bit, play action does help you. Florida, number 14, goes to Nashville, and this was a game where Florida was losing going into the fourth quarter. There had been a lot of give and take during the game. Both benches cleared and went out to the middle of the field during the first quarter. Almost got actually one kid did get thrown out of the game because of that, because he had already had an earlier personal foul. But that was an electrically charged atmosphere. I've got to give credit to Vandy for coming out with a lot of fight and grit, like we talked about last week, that they had up in South Bend a few weeks ago. But week by week, I'm more impressed what Dan Mullen's doing down in Gainesville.
Right, a couple of things here. The standoff between Mullen and Mason and Todd Grantham on the field, that ended up backfiring on Vanderbilt. It seemed to wake up the Gators. They ran for 292. They controlled the time of possession. And even though Vanderbilt was up 21-3 in the first half, it seemed pretty clear to me that Gators were much the better team.
Miami lost at Virginia 16-13. Bronco Mendenhall's finally getting this Cavalier team to his kind of personality, and they're going to play tough, they're going to play hard, and looks like Miami is starting their annual decline a little bit earlier this year than usual.
Yeah. Virginia led this game wire to wire, and coach, they didn't wow anyone offensively. In fact, statistically, it was a very poor game. They only had 231 yards of total offense, but they made the game ugly like they wanted to. And from the very start, they controlled the line of scrimmage and they won the game.
Colorado went out to the Coliseum to take on USC. They had never beaten USC ever. Guess what? They still haven't. USC looked like the football team we thought they were going to be. Got a big win over the Buffaloes, 31-20.
Right, number 19, Colorado. They'll drop out now, but they were at unranked USC. But Vegas doesn't care about those rankings. The Trojans were favored by 7 points. They covered it easily, and with the Pac-12 with the loss of Washington, I think the Pac-12 is done, in my opinion, as far as playoff consideration.
Speaking of done and dropping out of the top 25, Auburn, they looked abysmal against Tennessee. Jeremy Pruitt, give him credit. Those guys came in and they just played harder and they wanted it more than Auburn yesterday.
Tennessee ended up breaking their 11-game SEC losing streak. And in of all places, Jordan Hare at Auburn, it's a huge surprise. Auburn, Vegas knew something on this game because Auburn opened as a 20.5-point favorite. They dropped as low as 14 on game day. And to say that the Tigers' offense is struggling is a huge understatement. And, of course, it didn't help that they were -3 in turnovers.
No, not at all. And one thing you look at it with this Auburn team, you could count on that defense. It almost looks like the defense is thrown in the towel saying, you know, dang, doesn't matter what we do, we're not going to get any production out of our offense. I'm beginning to think that there may be some dissension within that locker room.
Right, coach. And we've seen that in the past. I remember some Alabama teams around 05 and 06. The defense was good. The offense was horrible. And at some point, Boston College, more recently than that, remember, Boston College had some outstanding defenses. They would lose to Florida State 14-0 when Florida State was Jameis Winston, Florida State teams, was putting up 40 and 50 on other teams. But at some point in the season, the defense is like, hey, we can't hold every team to zero, so I'm with you on that.
And that was what happened a lot of times at Texas A&M under Kevin Sumlin. They were good offensively all the time. They were going to put up points, but their defense was going to give up a ton. That's been the most impressive thing to me about Texas A&M this year, is that their defense is actually coming to play every single week. And I knew that was going to happen under Jimbo Fisher because, again, he likes that physical football. And you had two physical teams going at it yesterday with A&M and South Carolina, two good friends as head coaches. But Texas A&M, they come out on top.
Right, coach. You were spot on in August in the preview shows. You said Fisher, in your opinion, was going to change the culture. And I asked you I recall it very vividly. I asked you, do you think he can get it done, change that culture in this season? And you said yes, and I've seen it, because they held South Carolina to less than 300 yards of total offense. Okay, and these are the same players last year that were getting run all over on. Okay, that's the first time all year that the Gamecocks had less than 300 yards of total offense, and the Aggies are the ones that stop them. In this game, A&M got off to a 16-0 lead, but Carolina came back. They tied it at 16 in the third quarter, but of course the Aggies went on to win. There are only two losses, Alabama and Clemson, so A&M's really solid.
Mike, one of the most impressive performances that I saw all weekend was from Blake Barnett, South Florida quarterback. They played Friday night out in Tulsa. They came back, scored very late to win 25-24 for them to stay undefeated.
Yep, that was a trap game. South Florida was favored by 8 on the road. No one respected Tulsa, but they needed that late comeback to win by 1. So they got past the trap game, but they didn't cover the game. But look, the Bulls, they're still unbeaten, but listen to their remaining schedule. At Houston, at Cincinnati. Cincinnati hasn't played anyone, but they still haven't lost. They play at Temple. Temple's looking better. Jeff Collins, your buddy there, doing a great job. And then the season finale is at home against undefeated Central Florida.
Well, we lost 3 unbeatens this week with Georgia, Colorado, West Virginia. Chances are we may lose one next week. Again, I know this is early, and I'm just springing this on you. Have you looked at any games that kind of jump out at you already this week?
No, I really haven't. I don't have my list in front of me. But, Coach, I'll say this. One thing, when I was looking at the notes that the crew had put together, the sheet for us, and then we added our own notes, I looked at it, and I had to check my calendar because when you look at the carnage of the top 8 and the top 25 as a whole, 8 of the top 25 teams lost outright. 5 of those were favorites. 2 of them were favored by 2 touchdowns. It looks like November. So, to me, the pressure of November must be here early.
Well, you know, Gordon Lightfoot, he's saying in the record, Edmund Fitzgerald, he said, could be the wells of November come early. I think you're right on that. I think this is what's happening with this college football season because, frankly, some of the unbeaten teams that lost or have lost, I didn't think they would be the ones to lose.
Right. And you asked about, they were especially the 2 touchdown favorite teams. Mm-hmm. You don't expect them to lose. Mm-hmm. Coach, when you asked about the what do I see any games, do you have any that you pinpointed out? Because I pulled it up here. There's a couple of games that are going to be interesting. You've got Michigan and Michigan State. They play early. Michigan looks great right now. Mm-hmm. They look like the best defensive team in football. But any other games besides that?
No, and that was one that I had pointed out because Jim Harbaugh, of course, he has a losing record against Michigan State. And Michigan State's going to come into this game with a lot of confidence. That is one game that that I had on my checklist. Of course, the other one is Auburn-Ole Miss. I just want to see how Auburn responds to this. You mentioned Cincinnati. They hadn't played anyone. You mentioned Temple. The Owls in Cincinnati, they square off at noon on Saturday. The other game that I'm very interested in watching is Mississippi State and LSU, and that's a night game down in Baton Rouge. I want to see if LSU can come back and play with the same intensity that they did against Georgia or if they're going to have a lull. If they have a lull, I think Mississippi State's got a chance in this game.
Yep. How many times have we talked about that emotional letdown? I was impressed by the Tigers coming off that tough emotional loss in Gainesville. They just ran all over Georgia in that game. And a couple other games that interest me is USC goes to Utah. And Coach, you know, we've talked plenty of times about the AP polls versus Vegas polls. Well, one thing that I found interesting when I was looking at the rankings, the Vegas rankings, which are basically decide who is going to be favored over who on a neutral field. Well, Utah, of course, they're unranked. But if you look at the Vegas power rankings, Utah is ranked number 12. And USC has moved up that list as well. So I'm going to be interested to look at that game and those games you mentioned as well.
Okay, Mike, listen, we appreciate you so much for being with us on a Sunday. And we'll obviously won't be able to talk to you tomorrow, but Tuesday morning, we'll be able to catch up and review all of the NFL games that'll be getting underway just in a little bit.
Yep, always my pleasure to be on, Coach, and I look forward to speaking with you Tuesday.
All right, we'll be back in after this quick break on GameDaySportsRadio.com. We're going to preview a little bit of Bucks and Falcons right here on GameDaySportsRadio.com.